Welcome to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of our monthly storytelling night at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm Deb Markham, your podcast host and the producer of the show. Our event features storytellers sharing their God-honest true stories, which may or may not include strong language in adult situations. To inspire them, we offer up one word and a song. In March, Loyalties was the word, and Love Song by The Cure was the song. In this recording, actress Kat Gundell tells us a story of how blind love can be, even when all the signs are blinking like large neon lights over the Vegas skyline.
So I wanted to start off by telling you guys that out of all of my talents, my best one is finding really bad men and staying loyal to them. So I like to call this story, Somebody's a Complete Dumbass, or the story of faithfulness and betrayal. So this started in August, I think, of like 2008, and I needed a roommate. And I took out an ad on Craigslist, which I find is the best. And it's kind of like a personals ad because if you tell the most about yourself, you're going to get the right person. So I sent out this ad, and, you know, I get the usual, like, God bless you if you take me and I have no money, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then comes, finally, like, a really well-written letter from somebody, and he's in the Navy, and he's a hippie, but he went to Georgetown University, and I'm like, ooh, smart. He needs a place to stay. He likes live music, and he wants to have a house that he can go to so we can see this live music and then come back to a house. So I read the letter, and I threw myself out there, and I see that he got me, and he writes a really, it's a well-written letter, and I'm super excited about it. So I'll do this microphone thing. It's weird I can't see you guys. So anyway, I get his letter, and something, it's not just a roommate that happens to me, like something else is going on, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And so he can't move in right away because there's some money thing, whatever. But I discover that I'm, like, actually, like, really thinking about every time I'm going to write to him. And I'm really thinking about my response. And I start referring to him as not my future roommate, but my future boyfriend. I know that this is going to be some good stuff. Like, I can just tell it. Like, I'm a sucker for words, and these words are, like, they come to me. And, I mean, it's big. At the time, there's actually a couple people in the audience tonight who were with me throughout the story. My roommate, Ricky DeLonzo. Woo! Pam Good and Nancy Dickerson, who I worked with and traveled with. Woo! Yes. And so they are, like, I'm going to travel with them, and, like, we're going to be in the van or the hotel room, and I'm going to be like, oh, my God, you're never going to believe what he said this time. So, and, you know, we're, like, swooning in the hotel room with the letter, like, listen, this is what he said. So my future boyfriend, roommate, is about to move in, and he does, in fact, move in. And when I see him for the first time, I mean, that's it. He's tall, he's dark hair and blue eyes, he's gorgeous, and everything matches the picture that I had in my head from all of these words that we were writing back and forth. So in he moves, and I'd say it took about a week, maybe, before he moved out of the spare bedroom that I was renting him into my bedroom. And it was awesome. I mean, he invited me to the Navy ball. So those of you that know me know I throw a prom, and getting dressed up is, like, one of my favorite things to do. So here is a man that has a job. My last boyfriend, by the way, mooched off of me and didn't pay the rent. I paid the rent. So here's a man that has a job and invites me to a ball, and I'm going to get dressed up, and I'm super excited. So anyway, this is happening, and I'm a smitten kitten, and it's fabulous. And then a few months go by, and the red flags start up. So he's a temper, and he's a fit thrower. And when I say he's a fit thrower, I want to tell you that his eyes, those beautiful blue eyes, they start to water, and they get red, and his teeth get like this, and he's really angry, and whatever he does, it's awful. And for somebody like me, I'm a caretaker, and I'm really concerned, and I want this love, and I want to hang on to it so bad. So I hang on, and every time he does it, it's like it kills me inside. An example is once his grandmother sent us a poinsettia for Christmas, and we have dogs, and he was convinced his grandmother was trying to kill the dogs because poinsettias are poisonous to dogs. So it wasn't just a Merry Christmas. So these are the kinds of fits that he throws. Anyway, with every fit, like, I'm worse and worse in my stomach, but more and more I'm trying to make it right. Like, I'm trying to do the right thing and, like, make this guy love me. So the fits happen, and then the next thing that happens is we stop having sex. And usually in a new relationship, that doesn't stop, like, in 2 months. But in this particular one, it does. And some of the fits that he does are to let me know that I'm an asshole for wanting to have sex. So I'm a jerk. He's in the Navy. It's soul-sucking. And I'm a jerk because he's worked all day long, and then he comes home, and I want to have sex. And somebody's a complete dumbass, because the way that this does for me is it like hurts me inside. And I want to let all of you men in the audience know that when women don't want to have sex with you, you're just horny. You have blue balls, and that's how it is. But when men don't want to have sex with us, we look into ourselves. What have we done? Like, what's wrong with us? Like, why? Like, what can't I do? What am I not doing right? And that's what starts to happen. So my fabulous love affair is really dwindling. And anyway, so this is the state that we're in. And he finally, so then he tells me that he has a friend coming to visit. So started off in August, and now it's December, and he has this friend coming to visit, and they are dying to go to Red Lobster, of all places. Like, he's from out of town, and they grew up together, and they're really good friends, and their thing is that they go to Red Lobster together. So I kind of want to be a part of it. I want to show off my boyfriend and, you know, meet his friends and feel this relationship stuff. But whatever, I get it. It's their thing together, Red Lobster. So I back off. I let them do their Red Lobster thing, and they do, and it happens. There's various other things. Like, if I was really getting into the details, they're pretty good, but they're kind of boring for this particular event. So there were some things that hurt me, whatever, but I let him go, and off he went to the Red Lobster, and then he fell asleep and whatever. So it was New Year's Eve, and eventually there was some fun to be had, and we had it. And the next day, it's time for him to go to work. And he can't find his ID, so the fit starts. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the brig. That's it. Like, he's panicked. And the dogs are afraid. Their tails are tucked between their legs. The cats have gone. His friend, she's still in town. And everybody is scared. And I do what I can, and I run upstairs. And I remember what he was wearing when he went to the famous Red Lobster. And I reach into his shorts, and I pull out his ID, but there's something else there. And I'd like you guys to know that I learned a long time ago, do not snoop. If you snoop, you are going to find something that you don't want to know. Maybe your best friend calls you a bitch that day, and she doesn't really think you're a bitch. She just needed to say it at that moment. But you're not going to be able to unsee it. So I don't snoop. I am only trying to stop the fit. So I reach into his shorts, and I pull out his ID. I'm saving the day. But guess what else is in there? A piece of paper. A marriage license. My boyfriend didn't go to the Red Lobster. He married his friend from home under my nose. And did I break up with him? No. Of course I didn't. What I did was... I had to spend the night with his friend. She was still in. She was in town for a week, and he didn't really spend any time with her, but I had to. So I text him, and what I did was I was worried for myself. Like, I've snooped. I've done something awful. And I was so terrified that I had snooped and done. But something in me was like, no, I'm right. This was wrong. This guy shouldn't have done this. Yep, complete dumbass. So anyway, I text him. I'm like, you need to make some time to talk to me. And he does. And he, you know, he's on duty and he can't really talk. But he finds the time. And I tell him, like, listen, you did this and I know it. And he says he's sorry. And his main reason is, he says, you're such a good person. And I knew that you would be upset with me for cheating. Cheating the Navy, mind you. Not cheating on me or doing anything to me. Like, he was just wanted money from the Navy, and I'm a good person, so that's why I didn't get to know. Whatever. Anyway, I spent the rest of the night with his wife on my sofa without telling her that I knew that she was his wife. And we were watching a movie, and it was like a love story. And, yeah, what ends up... And so what ends up happening is we start to talk about our weddings. And I recognize about this girl that she is, in fact, in love with my boyfriend. Good thing, because it's my boyfriend, but it's her husband. She's in love with him, and she's telling me about her wedding, and I'm thinking, oh, really? What in that involved Justice of the Peace and Red Lobster? But I didn't say anything. I kept my mouth shut, and whatever. We got past that, and we moved on, and we're still not having any sex, by the way, in case anyone was curious. Some more time passes, and Fish is going to be playing, they're going to have a reunion. I mentioned that this guy is a hippie, and he loves live music. So Fish is going to have a reunion, and he wants to get his ticket, and he can't. He doesn't get a ticket in time, so there's a horrible fit thrown, and of course, my stomach is in knots. And I call my friend who's a photographer, and I get him a backstage pass with my photographer as, like, the camera guy. Like, he's going to hold the cameras. So I get him into the Fish show, and what he really wants to do is see the... he wants to be at Fish, obviously, but he also wants to go to, like, Sound Tribe Sector 9, like, secret show that happens. I don't know. I didn't follow these guys, so I don't know exactly how this works, but he's been emailing somebody back and forth, and he needs to find out whether or not he can get tickets. So he has to go on to the Fish show, and he leaves me his computer because... because I need to make sure that I can find this guy and get the tickets, et cetera, et cetera. So the computer is left in my hands, and I know I'm not supposed to snoop. But I did it. And the first thing I did was go to his browser and try to find out what porn he's been looking at, because he's sure not fucking me. And he was smart enough, he cleared the browser, and there's nothing in there. So then I go to his email account, and I mean, like, my adrenaline is pumping, and I know I'm doing something wrong, I know I'm betraying him, and I know it's awful. And I go through it, and there's a lot of letters from his wife. They're pretty boring. It's just like, how are you? What music are you listening to? A few things, you know, here and there. And it's like nothing. It's nothing, 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 nothing. We're in, I don't know, May or something like that. And we started dating in June. And then I get to June, and there's a bunch of Craigslist ads. You remember we met on Craigslist, and I was falling in love with him from Craigslist. And I get to the Craigslist ads, and what do you know? He is answering ads and putting out ads for sex on Craigslist while I'm falling in love with him. He's all like, oh, I live in an artist's house. It's quaint and fabulous, and I have off all afternoon to fuck. So these are the words that I'm reading. And again, you know, like, oh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And it's killing me. And there's about six or seven, and I want you to know also his picture is attached, which means that I know that it wasn't like Brad did an Alba trick, like, you're pregnant. He actually attached his picture. So one of them was like, you guys know that phrase, I'm not going to lie? I hate that phrase. And he's like, I'm not going to lie. I have all afternoon and I'm horny. All right. So I read on. But the big thing that I need to tell you guys is that the number one line that I remember still is this. I have all afternoon and I like the big black cock. So my married boyfriend likes the big black cock. And I will tell you one thing. I am sure that had I a cock, it would be big. But it sure as hell wouldn't be black. I mean, that's... So I'm screwed, or not screwed, because I don't have the right parts. And did I break up with him then? No. No, I didn't. Then I did what any good little faithful, loyal girl would do. I called my best friend, one of my good gay friends who bangs straight dudes off of Craigslist all the time. And I was like, please help me to understand what's going on. Like, help me get what's going on in this guy's mind. Like, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, we talked about it, whatever. And then I moved to another state with him. And as we were going across the border, I realized what a mistake I had made. And I will tell you, I'm not such a dumbass. I did, in fact, know that I had a job, and I wanted to do that job, and I wanted to go. And I don't regret it. I made a lot of really good friends, and I had a really great time. But we broke up within a week of me actually going across the town, or across the borderline. Yeah. And so basically, to sum up the story, I just want you guys to know that I am so loyal that I was faithful to a red flag raising, tantrum throwing, married, big black cock loving dude.
That was Kat Kindell on how sometimes your heart can drown out your brain. Thanks, Kat, for sharing your story. To everyone else, thank you for listening to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of Tell Me More, a live storytelling event at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. If you'd like to join Tell Me More or help out in any way, visit tellmemorelive.org. That's tellmemorelive.org, where you can find a schedule of upcoming shows and listen to more storyteller podcasts. Until next time, remember, a happy ending always depends on where the story ends.